from the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Media Knoxville. This show belongs to you at 656-9900. 656-9900. The sports you need before sunrise is on the air. You're inside the starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1. The Sports Animal.
Well, good morning, Friday, it's finally here. And allow us to help roll out the red carpet for the weekend. Tyler Ivins, Will West, starting lineups on your radio at 99.1, The Sports Animal. I mean, there is some discussions that we have to have today, and one of which is the return of the Premier League as well. I know there's one guy on this program very excited to know that June 17th is going to be a big day across the pond for teams like, you know, Arsenal. And teams like Arsenal, you know, great teams like, you know, like the Reds, as I try to get my fandom back on it. I think this is the time where I'm going to try to get really excited about trying to put all my focus on teams like, you know, like Arsenal and trying to, I'm not doing a very good job of trying to rattle your cage here on a Friday, am I? Good morning to you, man.
Hey, good morning, man. Yeah, look, I'm just glad the sport's back. That's all that matters to me. So we'll have Premier League soccer back coming up on June 17th. So pretty fired up about that. Of course, Liverpool's still inevitable at this point, but I don't know. Maybe Tottenham will just flat suck out loud. And also, Harry Kane will be back, so that's cool.
I was about to say, with a lot of these delays, you're going to start seeing sports now allowing a lot of their players to now have the adequate amount of time to recover. I know that they're a couple of my respective teams with this delay, whenever they either pick back up where they left off or when they officially get started, a lot of those questionable injuries, now all of a sudden that gives those guys time to heal, and my teams are now better for it. First guy I was going to bring up, what does that mean for a gentleman like Harry Kane? Just doing a little digging last night, you already answered the question right there. So at least one of the more popular players in the world gets an opportunity to return from, correct me if I'm wrong, a foot injury, right?
Hamstring. He's had hamstring. He's had foot. Hamstring. He's had it. Really, just overuse altogether is what Harry Kane was dealing with. You know, the big one that we're probably looking at when it comes to, hey, does this guy come back from injury? Is Kevin Durant? That's the one that if the NBA doesn't come back until late July, Kevin Durant's going to play basketball most likely. And you'll have a Brooklyn Nets team that's in playoff contention that, oh, by the way, adds the second best player in the National Basketball League, the National Basketball Association. So Kane coming back to Tottenham probably changes a whole lot for them. And you'll have, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see the way that injuries that were affecting seasons may no longer affect seasons, or sure, guys coming back from injuries end up affecting seasons in different ways because of the delay. You're absolutely right.
I think we should get a little bit more into this because there are some players, teams out there who look like that they were left dead in the water, and perhaps maybe their chances of actually extending their season, besides like the NHL who've already put their teams in place, they actually have increased due to the fact that they have had time to allow their players to heal up some of those broken bones and some of those wounds. I'm going to tell you, man, we have a lot of conversations on this program that very easily leak out to after the show. We'll have exchanges with people on social media. Perhaps we'll meet you, the listeners, out in public, and you know they'll stop us. And it'll be one of those, hey, you said something today, or hey, a couple days ago. Will, I'm going to tell you, man, I get off the air yesterday. I knew the rain was coming, so I got the push lawnmower out of the shed, and I hammer out the grass, and yesterday I was rolling the trash can down to the road, and I'm doing the whole back and forth with my neighbor, and I got a gentleman, he's in his late 80s, he is hard of hearing, he's our friendly neighbor who just does everything he possibly can, whatever his body and his life still allows him to do. He will go out of his way to make sure he can help you. He's just that guy. We all know who that guy in the neighborhood is. Everybody loves him. He wants to help you out as long as he can and as much as he can. And he waves me down as close as I can get within the 6 to 7 feet. You know, you're still respecting, you know, the whole social distancing. And the best he can, he goes, "Auburn, huh?" And that's all he says to me. And I just start laughing. He goes, "Nah, I guess they're pretty good. But they ain't Tennessee." And that's where we took the next 15 to 20 minutes to talk about the SEC uniforms yesterday. So I got to say, man, I don't know if it's just a neighborhood thing or if it's just a, you know, some people just honestly believe that the orange uniforms here in Knoxville are the best in the SEC. Certainly unique. You either love it or you hate them. Just ask Lou Ann Tui from the Blind Side. She can't stand that color orange when she was trying to send Michael Orr to Ole Miss. But when you look around the SEC, Ole Miss included, there are some good-looking duds. There are some good-looking jerseys in this conference as a whole.
Yeah, there are. And Rivals did a piece a couple of days ago, and they've done this in every conference, breaking down the top ranking each jersey for each conference. And it was Mike Farrell, Woody Womack, and Adam Gorney who were the ones that did the write-up of it. I've got to be honest, I could not disagree more with literally everything that they said. But I think they have Tennessee about where I would have Tennessee. But in the back end of it, I guess I would probably have A&M and South Carolina towards the back end as well. I disagree with everything else that they said, though. They've got LSU as the best uniform in the Southeastern Conference.
Look, it's a good-looking uniform, all right? There are some that just stand among the rest, the best being LSU. Okay, purple and gold. I mean, it's a nice little scheme. It's certainly not the best. I mean, how many other programs in the country have purple or some type of gold in their uniform? All right? I mean, and what's fair is somebody right now said, Ivins, I'm going to say a color, and I want you to tell me the first program that comes to mind. Are you ready? Purple, TCU. Like purple does, like if you said at least orange, I'm thinking Tennessee, and it wouldn't even be biased because I live in Knoxville. Like, there's just some colors, if you went down the list and you're like, okay, Ivins, go, blue, Duke. Green, Marshall. Purple, again, TCU. I mean, if you're not even the first team that comes to mind when I mention colors of the rainbow, if we're going down the Skittles packet or we're doing Roy G. Biv of the colors of the rainbow, if your school name doesn't even come up as the first color, I can't put you as the best uniform in the conference.
Yeah, so here's how they did it. What they did was they ranked every uniform in college football, period, right? They just went through 1 through 65 Power 5 teams. And LSU was 6th by Mike Farrell, 7th by Gorney, and Woody Womack had him 9th. They have Georgia 2nd, where they had Farrell 12th, Gorney 8th, Womack 27th. So, big disparity there. Tennessee, Farrell was 16, Gorney was 12, Womack had them 30. I got to tell you that the rest of the top five, Tennessee comes in 3rd behind Georgia, which is about where I would have Tennessee. Florida's 4. That's probably in the conversation of where I would have Florida. Alabama is 5, but now Mike Farrell has him at 40 among six power conference teams. Woody Womack has him at 26. I would probably have Alabama last if I'm looking at the SEC's uniforms. And I mean, if somebody is an Alabama fan, you're cheering for Alabama for what the team is, not just a red helmet with no logo whatsoever, just a team number on the side, and just a what. It's just plain Jane as you can possibly be. So for me, I'm not going to have it there. I think you and I agree. They've got Auburn at 9th. I would have Auburn number 1 in the SEC. And I think among all of Power 5 football, I would probably have Penn State and Auburn pretty close to the top. I'm trying to think. Oregon would be in that conversation as well with what they do with their jerseys and uniforms and things like that.
Can I pause you right there? And maybe it's just because how ugly the color maroon is. But when you look at the Alabama jerseys, do you not just look at how simple Alabama's jerseys and uniforms are and then look at Penn State's and go, pretty much just as simple. Like, when I look at Penn State University, I've been to State College a few times. And everything about State College is just plain and simple. The uniforms, their stadium. Will, their mascot looks like a 6th grade costume that some kid puts on and just rolls out there with gloves. And it looks like it has the tail has been sewn on by, you know, a classmate's mother. Like, they haven't updated the uniform, and it's just got a scarf around it. The campus, just a plain campus. There's just nothing that sticks out about State College or Penn State University. So if you're going to, I guess, poo-poo Bama's simplicity, wouldn't you do the same thing about Penn State's, or is it just because the blue and white just go well together?
Well, so here's the there's the difference between clean and minimalist and just plain. And Bama, I look at as plain. A&M, okay. I look at as plain. Penn State's, I look at as clean, right? Air Force, I look at, that's a clean uniform. You know what I mean? Okay. It's clean. It's minimalist. And also, I do prefer blue. I don't wear red for the most part. So I do prefer blue to red. So there is that. But there is a difference between those two things. Alabama's is basic. And there's not no thought process to it. I think, and here's the thing too, if you're all white looks good, almost no one's all white looks good. So if you're all white looks good, I'm going to give you extra points. And that, for me, that's the biggest reason with Auburn and with Penn State, is their all white uniform looks good and almost everybody else's all white uniform doesn't look that great.
656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Take a look around the SEC, and I see a couple of uniforms that have no chance of being the best in the conference. But then on the other hand, others that will fight for the top spot, and it's tough to narrow it down. In your opinion, who does have the best uniforms in the SEC? Come on, Tennessee fans. Is it the Vols? If it is, that's your vote. But if there's a rival or another school out there, we'd love to hear your honesty on a Friday morning. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Third member of the morning team, his name is Eric Kane. He's back in the Budweiser studios. He's got our first update on 99.1. You're listening to The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Good Friday morning. The Lady Vols will play West Virginia during the SEC Big 12 Women's Basketball Challenge of the season. The date and time of the matchup is yet to be determined, but the game will take place at the WVU Coliseum in Morgantown. Lady Vols have a 6-0 record against the Mountaineers, with their most recent win coming in 07. Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced pro teams in outdoor stadiums can host fans up to a 25% capacity in the state, while indoor facilities must still play without fans. IndyCar series is set to open the series at Texas Motor Speedway on June 6th, but the track president Eddie Gossage said despite the new rule, the race will still be held without fans in place. Meanwhile, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam said Thursday that racing will be allowed at Martinsville Speedway on June the 10th with no fans. The governor has also cleared the way for auto racing and horse racing to resume in the state as well. As for NASCAR racing last night, it was Chase Elliott that rebounded for the checkered flag at Charlotte Motor Speedway in the rain-delayed race. Denny Hamlin took silver, Ryan Blaney the bronze, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Kurt Busch rounded out the top five. It's 6:14. We're going to check the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
His high school yearbook quote was, "Just because it's a bad idea, that doesn't mean it won't be a good time." Tyler Ivins in the starting lineup. 99.1, The Sports Animal.
All right, so let's run through this list, Will. If you're talking about ranking the best uniforms in the SEC, it begins with Auburn, right?
I would have Auburn at number one, yes.
Okay, so then
and a lot of it's because their road uniform looks good too, right? And then not a lot of people can just pull off an all white uniform.
So if you're talking about a navy, let me tell you why it's coming off for Auburn for me. If you're talking about a navy uniform and how well it goes with, say, like the burnt orange at Auburn, then I'm probably going to stay the same route of navy uniform and how well it blends with some of the brighter colors. So that's why immediately for me, Will, if you're going to go navy and burnt orange with Auburn being so sharp, then a close second silver medal's got to be navy in the red and how it pops down in Oxford, Mississippi. That's why I would have Ole Miss's too.
I see. I would have Ole Miss near the bottom as well. I don't think the blue, the red, and the silver go together particularly well.
Okay, so I would go. So
no logo on the side of the helmet as well. They've just got the number on the side of the helmet instead of the logo. So because of that, yeah, I would have them near the bottom. And we're going to be all over the place on this. And the guys from Rivals were as well, where they were all over the place. I would probably have Auburn 1. I would probably have Vanderbilt 2.
Okay, so if you're allowing me a top three list, yeah. I'll give you Auburn 1, Ole Miss 2, Tennessee 3. Like I think the Tennessee orange is unique. It stands alone. When you think of orange across the country, outside of Stillwater, Oklahoma, if you said think of orange or Austin, Texas, because you know they're just going to be biased to their favorite programs. It's still Tennessee. You could go to somebody in the state of Washington, they're going to say the University of Tennessee. You could go to somebody in one of the Ivy League schools, and they're going to say the University of Tennessee. So give me Auburn, give me Ole Miss, then give me team here in Knoxville.
Yeah, so the thing with Tennessee is, if I'm talking about the basic uniform, I would have Tennessee 3. The problem with Tennessee, I think, when it comes to national uniform ranking, is one problem, is that whenever they've tried to do anything at all different, it looks really terrible. Right, sure. Like the smoky gray with the white helmet didn't look good. The smoky gray with the silhouette of the Smokies on the back of the helmet didn't look slow. It wasn't bad, but it didn't look that great. When they used to have the logo of the state, and it pushed the name down on the back a little bit, and it looked really dumb. The stormtrooper all white doesn't look that great. The white shirt with the orange pants look fantastic. I think with the orange britches, the Tennessee looks spectacular. And so if I'm looking at just basic uniform, I have Tennessee at number 3 as well.
So let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Tennessee gets docked some points because they alternate at some point in time? Like, some teams and some people, when they look at uniforms, they get credit for never really steering away from the original. Like, you know, you're never going to see Alabama with the alternate jerseys. They're always just going to have maroon, white, number on the side of the helmet. You know, you look at some of these other programs across the country, outside of maybe changing up their, let's go back to a Penn State, maybe outside of changing up their pants from a navy to going all white, you're not going to get much out of them. Okay, you're not going to get much out of Iowa outside of, okay, maybe one night we'll do a blackout night, and instead of the yellow pants, we'll do black pants as well.
Yeah, so for me, I don't give you credit or no credit for one way or the other for do you do an alternate uniform. But if you do it well, right?
Sure.
Frankly, I might take a little away from Alabama for always sticking to that basic red. But I tell you, a school that does it really well, and I will give them points for when they've done it well, is LSU. Like, LSU's done it very, very well. When they had that all white uniform, that was a fan with a white helmet. That was a spectacular look. Looked really, really good. When they've gone with the purple, it's a really good look. You know what I mean? So they've done some things that have been a really good look before LSU has, and so I probably would give them a little more points with that. With Tennessee, a lot of it is when you've done an alternate uniform, you haven't done it well. The black jersey with the white helmet and the right. orange pants did not look good. The Adidas smoky gray did not look good. So it's, and I love the Nike smoky gray the way that they did it. They tried to split the baby in half between keeping the traditionalists happy and going with an alternate uniform instead of just going with an alternate uniform. Like, one thing I would say, if you could suggest something to it, I would do, if you're going to do a black helmet, I would suggest black pants, matte black helmet with an orange power tee, and it would look rad. So in the day, we did an interview one time. I went in with Dave Hart, and I just straight up asked him, when are we going to get a chrome helmet with an orange power tee? And he just looked at me and said, you're going to be waiting a long time on that one. You ought to just hold your breath. And so I was like, thanks, Dave. So it was one of those moments. So it's do you do it well or do you not do it well? I think is for me. If you do it well, I'm going to give you extra points. If you do it poorly, I'm going to take points away. But if you don't do it, or I'm not going to. If it's just basic, I'm not going to give you that much of a bump one way or the other.
So can we agree that the worst uniforms in the SEC belong to who?
I would say mine is Alabama. I think and a lot of people love the just classic look, I guess, quotation fingers. Sometimes things are classic and sometimes things are old. And Alabama's are just old. So it's one of the reasons that before I knew anything about football, when I was like 4 years old, I hated Alabama because I hated their uniforms. And 40 years later, almost, I still hate Alabama's uniforms.
To me, it stands out. It's because it's just bad. It's Arkansas. You know, some people love Arkansas because of how well the white pops off with the hawk on the side of the helmet. Maybe because they've maybe cleaned it up a little bit with brighter font and more up-to-date font. I mean, for the longest time, if you looked across the chest where it said Arkansas, the font was kind of weird and it didn't really scream like 1990s or 2000 font. But, I mean, outside of anything else, there's nothing about Arkansas and then kind of just that off cherry red that does anything for me. I mean, when I look at Arkansas, I look at four or five other schools that have similar uniforms, and if I didn't see a logo or if I didn't see a name, I would just be like, oh, is that Indiana? Oh, is that, so, you know, I just, yeah, it does nothing for me. So Arkansas would be at the absolute bottom for me.
Hey, Kaner, where would you have, just give me your top three real fast, if you will.
Yeah, so my top three is going to be Auburn.
Probably, so you have Auburn number one as well.
Auburn number one. I will put LSU number two. I just like the scheme. I like the purple in there. I think it's really iconic how you have the white as home, and so I like all that. And then I'll put Tennessee at three.
Okay, so we have Tennessee three. I would have LSU at four. So I would be in a pretty close conversation with the same thing you're throwing out there.
Yeah.
656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. So soccer fans, rejoice. Premier League has now officially set the date. We'll tell you all about it, what you should expect come the middle of June, and what is still to come for a lot of these sports who have their leagues either A, starting, or B, returning, and their injured superstars that could give the sport a boost. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal. Stick around.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
99 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go Hawks!
Hey, glad girls, I only want to get you high. Hey, glad girls, I only want to get you high.
656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Starting line is back on your radio at 99.1, The Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins, Will West, we head to the phones. Robert's been waiting patiently on a Friday morning. Robert, hope you're staying safe out there. Good morning.
Yes, sir, and the same to all of y'all. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm going to agree that Auburn and LSU and I actually like the Missouri outfit. It's a little dark, but I like the Missouri look. Mississippi State, I think, is completely unimaginative, has been ever since I've been watching football. Not impressed with them. There's way too much red. And then, you know, again, Roll Tide refers to the red tide that comes in and wipes out everything in an ecosystem when it's there. All the fish just die because they can't breathe. So I really don't like that idea, and then I've never understood the elephant whatsoever. Now, one thing I will mention about UT and Orange, I believe that because of Boeheim and his success, that when you go up into the Northeast, you're going to have a little bit of a bump there with the Orange men, simply because of all the exposure during the basketball seasons that Boeheim has successfully had.
I'll give you that.
I think there'll be a little bit of a push there, just a little.
I'll give you that.
My favorite program look, though, honestly, is the team that I pull for, which is the Seminoles. You've got a Spear, you've got a Chief Osceola, and the gold on the Seminoles outfit is not like Notre Dame's, which is so bright and flashy that it's almost offensive to me. I've never really liked that really, really bright, shiny gold on Notre Dame at all. And then to have a game start with Chief Osceola come out there fully dressed and throw a spear in the middle of the field, it's just awesome to me, guys.
I would have Notre. I would have Florida State in the top five as well. I would. I think that the maroon and gold is a really good look. They do a smart thing too sometimes of making the face mask maroon and things like that. That'll kind of accent it. So they've always done a good job doing that back to Bowden's days. So you know, Florida State has not a good but a great uniform. I would probably, my top five in no particular order would be Auburn, Penn State, Oregon. I would definitely put Florida State in there, and I might put Air Force Academy in there as well. Ooh. Although those the fighting first that the Army did was pretty solid as well. See, but the day to day in, day out, I will have to admit that the Air Force uniform is better than the Army uniform.
Okay, well, immediately you bring up the Naval Academies, or excuse me, you bring up the military schools, and I think of the Naval Academy. I think you're just learning that I really like Navy with a lot of things, because that gold and Navy, and maybe I've just been, you know, a little bit spoiled with the uniforms that they try to roll out each and every year for that game in the Army-Navy game every year. Like, I'm a huge fan of some people cannot stand alternate or some type of third jersey. I love what Army-Navy does between the midshipmen and the Black Knights every year trying to one-up each other in some way, try to hide the phrase beat Army or beat Navy in the uniform. I think that it's just absolutely just clean when it comes across the board. I mean, when you start leaving the SEC, though, you start going to other conferences, and there are some colors and some jerseys that start standing out amongst others. Example, you go to the Pac-12. I don't know what it is about UCLA's baby blues and golds. I just think that it's great. I think it stands out among the rest. Notre Dame fans are going to throw a fit because we automatically don't bring up their jerseys or point it out to them. Notre Dame is forever going to lose points for the obnoxious jersey that they put together when they played that game at Yankee Stadium. Do you remember that green and pinstripe jersey they tried to push out?
Yes, I do.
And then people were buying those suckers for like $200 a pop.
I was in New York right around that time, right?
Yeah.
And I've got to tell you, they were dirt cheap in the city. I'll just say people were paying $200 online, and when we got to the city, I was floored. You walk into Modell's and it's racks on racks on racks of them. So people in the city did not appreciate it whatsoever.
I would just imagine that those would just be hotcakes, seeing that usually the type of fan that cheers for Notre Dame probably also cheers for the New York Yankees. So I just figured it would go hand in hand and make sense. I bet there's somebody who's got three or four of those probably hanging in their they hang them in their closet and probably rotate them Monday through Thursday. 656-9900. So Robert brought it up with his ties to FSU. If we had to leave the SEC, or maybe we don't have to, is the best uniform in college football in the SEC? And if it's not, who is it? Because I'm not going to give that distinction in Notre Dame. I just can't do it.
No, I will probably take Auburn 1. I probably would in the nation. And I would probably have Oregon 2.
Okay. For me, it's Navy. I think Auburn has the top three, top four jersey in the nation. I think the best college football uniform, jersey, pants, helmet, any combination. And I understand whenever you think of combos, Oregon comes to mind because of what they were able to do. They were literally rolling out uniform game by game to try to show off to entice kids to come to Eugene. I still believe Navy has the best uniforms in all of college football.
And you know what, Ivins and I aren't on speaking terms anymore as an Army guy.
Well, you're an Army guy. I get it. I totally get it. All right. You know, I have a friend. His grandfather was Staubach's backup in college, and maybe he is the times that we've spent together. Maybe he has officially pounded the Navy drum 100 times to try to get it synced into my head. I don't know what it is, man. Every time I watch Navy on the football field and maybe it just, there's everything that's just kind of like Navy just stands out. Navy doesn't change their uniforms, and if they do, they never blunder it. You watch Navy football, you know the triple option's coming, and just try to stop it. It's just like, I don't want to say Navy's set in their ways, but it's just kind of like, we're going to do it our way, we're going to march to our different beat, we're going to stand out, and either you like it or turn the channel.
I will say, the Navy uniform with the white helmet with the anchor was just magnificent. That was
right.
Really, really well done. The best two alternate, what I don't think people realize these days is that Army and Navy, their alternate uniforms have been unbelievable lately. Like, just unbelievable. So if you saw the first Cavalry Division that they did with the Army uniform, it was fantastic. And then the first Infantry Division one that they did there, that was spectacular as well. And Navy's had some unreal uniforms over the years as far as their alternate uniform. So that's something that to me adds some points for both Army and Navy, is that the alternate uniforms look really good.
Carlos reaches out on social media and says, love the uniform talk this morning, boys. If you're throwing out good jerseys and bad jerseys, can I nominate mine? Will somebody please let Colorado State know ripping off the St. Louis Rams and just putting obnoxious green colors on it does not work?
It's so terrible, but it's almost like good terrible. It's so bad, I kind of like it.
Do you? It's literally just the gold from St. Louis, their logo, and they're like, how can we rip off St. Louis? You know what?
Well, they were doing it before it was in St. Louis, I'll tell you that. They were doing it when it was in L.A. the first time. So it's very, very ugly. But it's almost so ugly that I respect how unbelievably ugly that they are, like the Rice Owls.
It just kind of looks like peace. Oh, the Rice Owls. Good one.
It's a terrible uniform that's almost so terrible that I respect how terrible you are.
I'll give you one more out there, and I mean no disrespect because I have friends who still cover the program. My eyes would bleed, not just because the product on the field when I first got there, because they got significantly better in both sports before I left. But, man, I had a tough time of watching Iowa State play.
Oh, those were so bad. The gold with the red was so bad.
They love it. People out there, if they're an ISU fan, they try to incorporate it in their everyday wardrobe, from Sunday best going to church to grilling out Saturday afternoons to heading to the lake on Friday afternoons for happy hour. They try to put that cardinal and gold anywhere in there, and it just does not mesh well, man. Does not mesh well. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. We got Love It or Leave It to wrap up hour number one of the program. We've got Premier League dates. We got to talk to Lee Sterling. And let me ask you right now, who's the best quarterback in the SEC right now? Think about it. It's not as obvious as you think it is. I know who you're thinking, a guy perhaps maybe in the state of Texas coming back for another year. Perhaps maybe he's in the Sunshine State. Is he in our own backyard? We'll give you a chance to think about it. Tyler Ivins, Will West, you're listening to 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Former USC quarterback JT Daniels announced his commitment to Georgia on Thursday. Daniels has 3 years of eligibility remaining and will need a waiver from the NCAA to compete this season for Georgia. Daniels joins former Wake Forest signal caller Jamie Newman as newcomers to Georgia, as the latter came to Athens as a graduate transfer this offseason. In college basketball, Kentucky and Notre Dame will begin a three-year series beginning on December the 12th. The Wildcats will host the first game since the teams last met up in 2012. NFL owners approved a six-year extension with EA Sports to continue the video game of Madden through the year 2026. The current contract was set to expire in 2021, as the relationship between EA Sports and the NFL has existed for 30 years. And the Panthers assigned cornerback Eli Apple to a one-year deal. The Ravens linebacker Matthew Judon signed a $16.3 million franchise tender on Thursday as well. It's 6:46. We'll get to check out the roads with Pete Michaels. Traffic Eye in the Sky. Good Friday morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Sure. The starting lineup with Tyler and Will. 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Tyler Ivins, Will West. Love It or Leave It is now on your radio as we wrap up hour number one of the program.
When you break it all down, it comes to one simple question. Love it or leave it?
Love it or leave it.
All right, gentlemen, hundreds of minor league baseball players were cut yesterday, with hundreds more expected to be cut this weekend by Major League Baseball parent teams. Love it or leave it, the game of baseball is diminishing its value for the next 5 to 10 years.
Look, diminishing its value, this is going to get bad. I don't know for the next 5 to 10 years, because they can still get past what they're going through right now negotiations-wise, and they can also make sure that they hammer out a deal after 2021 and it not get messy. Now, we already knew that this was going to happen when Rob Manfred started killing off a lot of these franchises. You know, what's it been now? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? It's not been official, but you can already read the, you know, see inside the grapevine. You can hear the whispers about who's going to be those teams that die. Look, this was going to come. So anybody who's shocked by these names, or you're hearing players come out and rip their respective franchises who cut them, they knew this was coming. Especially when you saw the teams that were reportedly going to lose. So I wouldn't say 5 to 10 years, but it could get there, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, no, I'm going to leave this. I don't think it's the 5 to 10 years. I will say they're going to have to learn a lesson that a lot of people have had to learn. Don't let people find out that they can do without you. And that's what the baseball is going to have to learn. And the fact that you treat your minor leaguers like this, goodness, this is horrible. So I don't think it's diminishing the value specifically for 5 to 10 years. I do believe that they're going to diminish their quality of play over the next 5 years by doing things like this. But the value, I will leave that, although it's really terrible.
Chase Elliott rebounded for the checker flag last night in Charlotte after a really, really tough week of bad luck. Love or leave it, Chase Elliott is the best driver in NASCAR in the Cup Series right now.
I'll leave this. I think that it's still a back and forth between Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, and whoever has the equipment is going to be the one that gets it done. For the most part, sometimes things happen. Those are still the best two drivers. I can put them in lawnmowers and race, and it is going to be incredibly compelling. That's how good they are. Tyler would absolutely bet on it, especially if it was in like Belarus or some other country like that. Chase Elliott has grown up, and he's really good, and it does seem like the Chevys and Hendrick right now have something figured out.
You know what? I'm trying to be the whole NASCAR guy. I really am, and it's just not working for me right now. So I don't want to say that Chase Elliott's the best driver in NASCAR, because you're putting me in a territory where I'm going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, he turns left. That makes sense. I'm not going to go there yet. I want to see him in the winner's circle a few more times before I'm ready to start crowning somebody of a sport like NASCAR that can at any time can change week by week.
He's really good. He's the hottest driver in NASCAR right now.
Hottest, sure, but the best,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. It took him forever to get that first win a couple years ago, but since then he's been rolling. All right, former USC quarterback JT Daniels announced his transfer to Georgia yesterday. Love or leave it, Tennessee fans should be bitter. He's not a Vol.
I wouldn't say bitter, but you should be a little upset about kind of how the process went and where he ended up. And if you're a Tennessee fan right now and you're looking at what they're doing recruiting-wise, the Vols, you see them add not only, you used to have Justin Fields, and then now you have JT Daniels. You now have two of the five-star quarterbacks from that respective recruiting class. I mean, this is kind of, I wouldn't say that it's, checkmate, but this is a really good get for Georgia moving forward. Now all of a sudden you have to ask yourself, does that now maybe widen the gap a little bit? Widen the gap a little bit more between Tennessee and Georgia starting next year?
He's a young person. He went and did the what he thought was the right thing for him, and you always wish people luck in life. You have 25 quarterbacks in your quarterback room as it is. Like, I mean, well, they have made it work, yes.
You got a Heisman front runner, Jamie Newman, as well, yeah.
Well, I mean, Tennessee does. I mean, Tennessee, how many people's in Tennessee's quarterback room right now? Like 6, 7, so...
Yeah,
no, don't worry about
scholarship.
That. Three, Georgia's just been better than Tennessee. And not just better than Tennessee, but a lot better than Tennessee for the last few years. And frankly, since Coach Fulmer was fired, Georgia's just been better than Tennessee, period. And four, he's making a bad decision. This is going to be horrible for him. I feel terrible for him. No, you shouldn't be bitter that he's not at Tennessee. You should feel terrible for him because he went somewhere with the coach and doesn't give two poops about the offensive side of the football as long as he can do whatever he wants to on his defense. And this kid's going to check down like crazy and be a fourth-round pick someday and maybe get a cup of coffee in the NFL when he legitimately has NFL talent.
All right, last one, guys. Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan said in a media availability yesterday that he owes the franchise to be a better leader than what he's been. Love it or leave it, Taylor Lewan is the Titans' offensive leader.
I'll leave this because it better be Ryan Tannehill with what you're paying him. If he's not the guy that's your leader and you're paying him dang near $30 million a year, goodness, good luck with all that going on if your tackle is none. Don't get me wrong, you need more than one leader on a team. You need guys like Taylor Lewan to enforce what Ryan Tannehill is saying. So he can still be a leader, but if he's the most vocal person in your locker room and Ryan Tannehill's not on the offensive side of the football, you got some problems.
Carbon copy, move on to number 5.
All right, last one. Georgia head coach Kirby Smart says that on-campus workouts will actually be safer for football players than where they are at homes. Love it or leave it, you agree with Kirby's comment?
I mean, getting your team back on campus so you don't have to worry about them. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, plus you have somebody watching over them and they have all the right equipment and they're not out there having to makeshift things so they can make sure they get their squats and all the different weight and training in. Sure, I'm okay with what Kirby said. I think he's spot on here.
I think he means in terms of the pandemic.
I leave this. This is stupid. This is literally every drop of science that's ever been shown during this pandemic. The one thing that we all know and there is no debate about is when you get people in close quarters, that's when the numbers increased greatly. There's a reason why, you know, hardcore urban areas, that's where we've seen this. People are living in apartment buildings, the people that were on the cruise ship, people that have worked in factories, people that have been inside nursing homes. No, this is Kirby. This is a bald-faced lie, and Kirby knows it's a bald-faced lie.
Love it or leave it.
New Balance Knoxville, bringing you Love It or Leave It for a Friday.
That's right, New Balance Knoxville, the suburban shopping center, the perfect fit every single time at New Balance Knoxville. And folks, the amazing colorways, amazing product, a made in the USA product as well at New Balance Knoxville. And I do want to say we're up against it. I'm not saying that these kids are going to get infected, just the idea that it's safer to be in a crowded area than not in a crowded area during this. For Kirby to say that, I don't believe that he believes it. If so, he's a doofus. And I don't think you're not going to sell me on Kirby Smart being an imbecile.
656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Hour 2 of TSL, it's on the way next.